Welcome to this deep dive in our series, Muscle Recovery and Tissue Repair. I am your host, Lena Carter, and joining me once again is Dr. Samuel Clark, a molecular biologist deeply immersed in peptide science and regenerative research. In this deep dive, we're tackling a genuinely critical issue in peptide research, why quality isn't just a buzzword, but the absolute bedrock of experimental outcomes. We'll explore how avoiding crucial pitfalls in muscle research peptides can literally make or break a study, from purity concerns to the indispensable role of third-party testing. Essentially, we're uncovering what truly separates reliable research-grade compounds from the ones that could send your entire project spiraling. So if you're ready to dive into the intricate science behind quality assurance and why it's the non-negotiable foundation of all meaningful research, you're in precisely the right place. Let's get started. So when we talk about muscle research, it's not just about, you know, the big ideas or theories. It really comes down to the nitty-gritty, doesn't it? Those tiny details where every single element truly counts. We're dealing with compounds that are incredibly specific and the precision involved. It can just drastically change the whole story of an investigation. Just imagine for a second all the effort, the sheer time, the intellectual and financial resources poured into a research project. Now picture all of that. Just potentially invalidated, maybe completely meaningless because of what seemed like a tiny oversight in the quality of your basic material. It's kind of like building this amazing structure only to find out the concrete in the foundation, you know, wasn't mixed right.
That analogy is spot on, actually. It really highlights how foundational these compounds are. Peptides, well, they're basically short chains of amino acids. You could think of them as the body's really specialized messengers, yeah. Zipping around, influencing all sorts of biological processes. Things like triggering growth hormone release or coordinating tissue repair. Their roles are incredibly diverse and fruitfully specific. And in muscle-focused studies, that specificity is really valuable. We often look at peptides like IGF-1, LR3, CJC-1285, and BPC-157. These aren't just random molecules. They're studied intensely because they have such a profound impact on key pathways, things like protein synthesis, obviously essential for muscle growth or cellular regeneration, vital for healing, and, you know, recovery signaling after exercise or injury. What's really fascinating here, and maybe a bit daunting too, is just how precise peptides can be. They can be designed to target very specific receptors or pathways, almost like a molecular key for a unique lock, right? And this ability, it gives researchers these incredibly clear, well-defined insights into biological mechanisms. It makes them really powerful tools.
But, and this is the huge but, that same precision, it's also their weakness, their Achilles heel, you could say. It means even the slightest impurity, the tiniest inconsistency in a peptide, it can drastically skew the result. It's not just a small deviation. It can literally send a whole experiment down the wrong path, leading to conclusions that are, well, misleading at best or just plain false at worst.
That kind of precision, it sounds almost fragile. So if they're superpower is this laser focus. What are the sort of hidden dangers, the kryptonite factors you mentioned that can undermine them in the lab? What are those things researchers might overlook when they're getting these materials?
You've nailed the core issue right there. The dangers aren't always obvious, not until you're maybe deep into a study. And by then, well, it can be too late. We've actually identified 5 really common pitfalls that labs often encounter, and they can be incredibly disruptive. I mean, really derail things. First, and maybe the sneakiest one, is the problem of impure compounds. See, lower-grade peptides often contain unwanted stuff left over from how they were made, chemically. Synthesis byproducts. And these aren't just inactive fillers. They can be active contaminants that directly mess with the peptide you want to study, binding to its target receptor. Imagine trying to tune into a faint radio signal, but there's loads of static, maybe other stations bleeding through. That's what these impurities do. They create so much background noise that seeing the real subtle effects of your target peptide, it becomes almost impossible. Or even worse, sometimes these impurities might actually mimic biological effects themselves, sending researchers chasing ghosts for months, maybe years. It's a real silent killer of progress.
Okay.
The second pitfall, and this one causes a lot of frustration, is inaccurate dosing.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a huge problem. If a peptide is mislabeled, right, or if its concentration isn't accurately standardized by the supplier, researchers end up using the wrong concentrations in their experiments. And in muscle studies, we're getting those precise dose response curves is absolutely crucial.
Those curves tell you how much does what, essentially.
Exactly. How much peptide gives you what level of effect. If your dosing is off, those curves are meaningless. You might have spent months, maybe a year, with cell cultures or animal models, only to find your dose was consistently wrong by, say, 10 or 20%. All that effort, basically worthless. You have to start over. Then there's the third challenge, batch inconsistency.
Batch inconsistency, meaning it's not the same stuff each time.
Pretty much. Imagine you're trying to replicate a really promising study, maybe on muscle regeneration. But the peptide you get today, even from the same supplier, isn't quite the same as the one used in the original research, or even the one you used last month. Some suppliers just, well, they struggle to keep things uniform from one batch to the next. This subtle variation, this lack of reproducibility, it makes it almost impossible to confirm findings, either across different studies or even in your own lab over time. And reproducibility, as you know, well, it's the absolute foundation of scientific validity. Without it, the whole thing falls apart. Fourth on the list is poor storage and stability.
Right, how they're handled.
Exactly. Peptides are surprisingly delicate molecules, way more than people often realize. Without proper lyophilization, that's the freeze-drying process and sterile packaging, plus strict temperature control, for the maker all the way to the lab bench, they can degrade really fast. And a degraded peptide, it just won't interact with the biological receptors the way it's supposed to. It's like trying to unlock a door, but your key is bent. Maybe it turns a bit, maybe not at all. Leads straight to flawed results, because the compound you think you're testing isn't actually the compound you're testing anymore. And finally, the fifth common problem is a serious lack of documentation and transparency.
Meaning the paperwork isn't there.
Precisely. A reputable supplier should always give you essential documents, like certificates of analysis, COAs, verifying purity, and other detailed testing info. Without those, researchers are basically just guessing. Guessing about the exact makeup, the purity, the quality of what they're using. It's like trying to navigate a really complex molecular landscape completely blindfolded. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, Lena, these aren't just small annoyances. They directly undermine the scientific method itself. They make our search for truth unreliable.
Wow. So it's not just about one failed experiment then. The knock-on effects, they sound devastating. For a researcher's career, for science itself, you're talking about unreliable results that nobody can really trust.
Exactly.
Which means an inability to reproduce findings. That completely undermines the weight of any discovery, doesn't it?
Completely.
But beyond the data, there's the human element. Huge wasted resources, precious time, people's effort, significant funding, often forcing labs to repeat experiments from scratch. Years, sometimes.
It's incredibly costly.
And maybe worst of all, damaged researcher credibility. Imagine presenting findings only to have it revealed later they were flawed because the materials weren't consistent.
Just a nightmare scenario.
That's a huge price to pay for poor quality control. It sounds like the real enemy here isn't necessarily outright fraud, but this sort of subtle, creeping inconsistency that makes real progress so difficult. Okay, so given these really critical challenges, how can researchers actually protect their work, ensure the integrity of their studies? What are the specific, like, non-negotiable things they should look for in a peptide supplier to try and avoid all this? It really seems like choosing the right source is just as vital as designing the experiment itself.
Absolutely, Lena. Choosing the supplier isn't just important. It's paramount. It's foundational. And this is where some companies are really setting the bar high. We can use BC9 as an example. They're known for being rigorous in this area. There are key qualities researchers absolutely should demand. First, insist on high purity standards. Top-tier suppliers use rigorous, often multi-stage, testing to ensure purity levels are typically way up there, usually over 98%. And that's not just a nice number. It's critical because it cuts out that experimental noise we talked about. It means the results you see are actually due to the peptide, not some contaminant.
Okay, so 98% purity. Got it.
Second, third-party testing. This should be completely non-negotiable. Every single batch of peptides ought to be checked by an independent, unbiased, third-party lab. Good suppliers like BC9 make their certificates of analysis, their COAs, readily available.
So you can see the proof yourself.
Exactly. It's not just good practice. It's about essential transparency. It gives you that crucial layer of confidence, confirming what you're working with before you invest time and resources. You're not just taking their word for it. You have objective, verifiable data. The third critical quality is batch consistency.
Which we talked about being a huge problem if it's missing.
Right. Reproducibility is the bedrock of science. We can't say it enough. Suppliers who really care about quality have strict quality control protocols. They guarantee uniformity from one batch to the next. This means if you run an experiment today, and then 6 months later you order the same peptide again, you can be reasonably confident your results will be comparable, replicable. That consistency is just fundamental for any robust, publishable scientific work. Fourth, you definitely need sterile and stable formulation.
Handling and packaging, right.
Precisely. Peptides are chemically sensitive. Reputable vendors make sure they're handled very carefully during that freeze drying, the lyophilization, and the packaging, all to maintain stability, sterility, and a decent shelf life, assuming proper storage. This careful approach stops them degrading prematurely, making sure the peptide stays biologically active and potent right through its use in research. It's like, you know, making sure delicate ingredients are perfectly sealed until you need them. And finally, number 5, a clear research-only commitment. Trusted suppliers, again like BC9, state very clearly that their peptides are made strictly for research purposes. This commitment means they stick to all the relevant regulations and ethical guidelines for scientific investigation. They're not selling them for other, maybe less scrupulous uses.
Okay. That's an important distinction.
It is, and it brings up a really important question. Without all these stringent checks, without this dedication to quality, can we actually trust the foundation our scientific discoveries are built on? It really asks us, as a whole scientific community, what level of uncertainty are we actually willing to live with?
That's powerful. It makes it so clear that these aren't just, you know, nice to haves. They're not optional extras. They're essential safeguards. They're about the fundamental integrity that all meaningful progress in muscle research has to be built on. It really boils down to trust and transparency, doesn't it? Mm. Not just in the science, but deeply in the tools we use to do the science, protecting that long journey of discovery.
Indeed. And when you think about those specific peptides we mentioned earlier, IGF-1, LR3, CJC-1295, BPC-157, their inherent sensitivity, how easily they're affected by purity and formulation, it just makes the choice of supplier absolutely vital for using them effectively in research. These aren't tough, inert compounds that shrug off bad handling or impurities. Not at all. Any impurity can have a significant, even catastrophic impact on their biological activity. They're very specific ways of working, demand an incredibly high level of fidelity, of purity in the compound itself. Any deviation, it just leads to wasted effort and ultimately stalled progress in really important areas like regenerative medicine or understanding performance.
Okay, so for any researcher listening right now, or really for anyone interested in just applying good principles of due diligence to any kind of complex information, what are the actionable things they can do? The best practices to safeguard their work or just their understanding? How do we make these high standards part of the routine? First, I guess, make it an absolute rule. Always ask for those certificates of analysis, the COAs, from your vendors. Actually look at them. Confirm the peptide's identity and purity yourself.
Yes, crucial first step.
And if a supplier can't or won't provide them, that's not a small issue. That's a huge red flag. Just walk away, right?
Absolutely. Don't even consider it.
Second, once you get the peptides, store them properly. Keep them lyophilized under stable, controlled conditions. That preserves their effectiveness.
Simple but vital.
Third, actively avoid suppliers who aren't transparent. Like we said, that lack of documentation, it's a critical warning sign. It'll save you massive headaches, maybe years of wasted research down the road.
Diligence up front saves pain later.
And finally, try to stick to reputable brands, the ones known for their quality control, their consistency. It's like being a good scientific detective. Always verify your sources. And even if you listening aren't a lab researcher, these ideas demanding verification, demanding transparency, they apply to understanding any complex information source. It's about not just taking things at face value, but really looking at the foundation. So wrapping up, in this intricate, high-stakes world of muscle research peptides, quality really is everything. Impure, inconsistent compounds. They don't just create small, fixable errors. They can derail months, maybe years of work. They skew results. They fundamentally compromise credibility of the researchers and the sciences. The purity, the consistency, the transparent documentation, they aren't just preferences. They are non-negotiable foundational requirements for doing good science.
That's absolutely right. And considering all these incredibly sensitive factors we've discussed, from those invisible impurities to that elusive batch consistency, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What are the broader, maybe deeper implications for the future of scientific progress in muscle research? If the community as a whole doesn't fully embrace and demand these rigorous quality standards,
yeah,
how much valuable progress could be delayed or misdirected or maybe even lost for good if we keep tolerating subpar materials as the building blocks for our understanding? The question that really challenges the integrity of the whole discovery ecosystem.
That's a really powerful question to end on. A genuine call to action, I think. It puts the responsibility not just on individual labs, maybe, but on the whole scientific community, doesn't it?
It really does.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the clinical science behind quality assurance in peptide research. We hope this has given all of you listening a clearer, more informed, maybe even a more vigilant perspective on why every single detail matters, not just in the lab, but in ensuring the trustworthiness and the real advancement of scientific discoveries. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and above all, stay curious.